Hey everybody, how you doing? And welcome to the Focus on Greatness podcast. I am your host, Chaim Roche, and as always, it is truly an honor to be able to be here with you, my greatness tribe. Hey, listen, we have been having some dialogue and really diving in, talking about this concept of greatness and really being able to look at not just what greatness is, but starting to create a picture of how we can be able to apply this context to our lives on a day-to-day basis. And one of the ways that we have done this is we've started with looking at some examples, some people that we know through scripture that kind of gives unto us a picture of what that looks like, the effects that it looks like, the things that they go through. How do they still function in greatness, even when they're going through their struggles, even when they're going through their ups and downs, even when they're going through having good moments, bad moments, whatever those is, what does that look like for us in our everyday? And so what I wanted to be able to do is have a dialogue of conversation as we have been talking about this man by the name of David, very powerful man in scripture that I believe is a great picture of what greatness looks like. He's a servant at heart. He's a warrior. He has different struggles and different things that he deals with, but all of those things give unto us a picture of how we can function in our greatness. So what I want to do tonight is I want to be able to have a conversation with someone that can give unto us another lens into something that David struggled with. This is something really that I believe a lot of us deal with in one sense or another, in one level or another, but being able to have this tool that we're going to talk about tonight, having this tool, I believe will help us to be able to deal with some of the struggles, deal with some of the mental struggles that we might have so that we can be able to fulfill, continue to function in our greatness. If you're ready, I'm ready. Let's dive in this conversation. Hey, everybody. Hey, listen, Greatness Tribe. Hey, listen, have you joined our text group? I know you have already, but if you haven't, I want to make sure that you know and are aware that we have one. The importance of this text group is so that me and you can be able to stay connected. I know that there's times that I can go live. There are things that we are going to be releasing. There are conversations that I'm going to be having, and I don't want you to miss none of that. I want you to be able to be involved in everything that we're doing as the Greatness Tribe. So this is what I need you to do. I need you to text 833-398-1648. That's the number I need you to text to. And here is the phrase. I need you to only text greatness. Now, again, what is this going to do? This is going to allow me to be able to text you personally so that we can be able to stay in contact, be able to stay connected, so we can continue to talk, so you can know what's happening, what products that we're going to be offering, or what things are going to happen. Again, I don't want you to miss out on anything. So listen, this is important because if you believe that this Greatness Tribe is impacting your life and is very vitally important to what you're doing, you're always expecting these Monday night conversations and the posts that I do throughout the week, you're expecting these things and you're anticipating these conversations. You don't want to miss any of them. So again, text greatness to 833-398-1648. And the Greatness Tribe, I'll talk to you soon. All right. Hey, everyone. Hey, listen, as I told you, this was going to be a special, special conversation that we're going to have as we are diving in and talking about. Really, we've been talking about this journey of greatness, and we have been talking about this man by the name of David. Very, very powerful man in scripture. But what I wanted to do is to have a conversation with my dear friend, my sister, and be able to kind of give unto us another type of perspective. And I think when we think about David's story, when we think about really our story, there are struggles that we have that sometimes we don't even think about or look at when we're talking about this thing called greatness. And again, greatness is this ability just to be able to serve well. And I think one of the things that sometimes can affect that ability is our mental health. Hey, everybody. Hey, listen, Greatness Tribe. Hey, listen, have you joined our text group? I know you have already, but if you haven't, I want to make sure that you know and are aware that we have one. The importance of this text group is so that me and you can be able to stay connected. I know that there's times that I can go live. There are things that we are going to be releasing. There are conversations that I'm going to be having, and I don't want you to miss none of that. I want you to be able to be involved in everything that we're doing as the Greatness Tribe. So this is what I need you to do. I need you to text 833-398-1648. That's the number I need you to text to. And here is the phrase. I need you to only text greatness. Now, again, what is this going to do? This is going to allow me to be able to text you personally so that we can be able to stay in contact, be able to stay connected, so we can continue to talk, so you can know what's happening, what products that we're going to be offering, or what things are going to happen. Again, I don't want you to miss out on anything. So listen, this is important. Because if you believe that this Greatness Tribe is impacting your life and is very vitally important to what you're doing, you're always expecting these Monday night conversations and the posts that I do throughout the week, you're expecting these things and you're anticipating these conversations. You don't want to miss any of them. So again, text greatness to 833-398-1648. And the Greatness Tribe, I'll talk to you soon. All right. Hey, everyone. Hey, listen, as I told you, this was going to be a special, special conversation that we're going to have as we are diving in and talking about. Really, we've been talking about this journey of greatness, and we have been talking about this man by the name of David. Very, very powerful man in scripture. But what I wanted to do is to have a conversation with my dear friend, my sister, and be able to kind of give unto us another type of perspective. And I think when we think about David's story, when we think about really our story, there are struggles that we have that sometimes we don't even think about or look at when we're talking about this thing called greatness. And again, greatness is this ability just to be able to serve well. And I think one of the things that sometimes can affect that ability is our mental health. Mm-hmm. So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to dive into this portion of it. I'm going to allow my sister really to run this show tonight, and we'll really dive into this conversation. So before we do, do me a favor, sis, introduce yourself to the audience, for those that do know you, for those that have never heard you, and kind of allow them to know why you are qualified to be able to speak on this conversation, and then we'll go from there.
Well, thank you. Always a pleasure to be on the show. Always a pleasure to join my brother in conversation. I have known my brother for so long now. We're getting up there. We're getting pretty old. So it's always
just a pleasure. We're not putting ages out here.
Yeah, we're not going to put it out there, but okay. But it's been a minute. But it's such a pleasure to join him. I am a licensed professional counselor. I am currently an associate dean of counseling at a institution of higher education, but I am a nationally certified counselor as well as a licensed professional counselor by certification and by license. And so I operate in the mental health space, but I also have been serving in ministry for over 15 years. And so my passion is being able to merge mental health pragmatics with ministry. I think that those two go hand in hand, and we have plenty of precedents in the Bible for where mental health skills building, the space of mental health has been highlighted in the Bible. It's just a matter of being able to really take a look at what the psalmist and what the scriptures are telling us, and being able to translate that into what it is that we do on the mental health side of things from a clinical standpoint. And so that's kind of my passion. I could talk about it all day. And so every once in a while, my brother will come and pull me out of my office to have these types of conversations.
Yes, I get the wonderful privilege to be able to do that and pull on your strength, because I do believe it's a conversation that does need to be had. And I think sometimes we shy away from having this conversation for a variety of different reasons. But I believe that this is something that needs to be talked about. And I think sometimes we think about it only in our day-to-day life, but we don't connect the two dots together of how this is actually something that we see also in scripture. and how these people dealt with their challenges, and how we can be able to look at their life and be able to get some form of picture of how we can be able to deal with our day-to-day and some tools and ideas and mindsets that can be able to help us in our own personal journey. So, so again, as always, thank you for taking out of your day-to-day. She is a very, very busy person, and so trying to get her on this recording is a prayer always. And so but I'm grateful that you're on. So I want to go ahead, dive right into the conversation. Can you give unto us really this picture for us when it comes to David's life, of what you can really describe for us, some of his mental portions of challenges, and then we'll just kind of go from there in the conversation.
Yeah, I think David is such an interesting character when it comes to the nuance of mental health. David takes us through the ebbs and flows of life. And I think for a lot of people, we forget about the principle of oscillation. We forget that as humans, we go through seasons where sometimes we make it through a depression and then we end up back in a depression. And sometimes we have this irritation with ourselves for how do we get back into this space? Because we think once we've overcome this one mountain, we're never going to see it again. Right. And David is an excellent example of how many times we oscillate. We come back to this place of depression, of anxiety, of fear, of hopelessness, of irritation, of anger. We see many emotions in David's life several times throughout his dispensation of time. And what I love about the scripture is that it takes us from many different perspectives of David's life. So we see David's life through the lens of Saul. We see David's life through the lens of Samuel. We see so many things that, so many vantage points of David's life. And in that, if you really look, and if you really take yourself as a human, and you really look at the things that are happening in David's life, David being the youngest of his brothers and being just completely disregarded as not even, we ain't even going to bring you to the table to consider, you know, what that must have felt like for him, you know, to just be left out dealing with the sheep while your brothers are being considered for this great option. You know, many times we don't take the time to think about what that might have felt like to him to not even be considered, to be called upon, to then go take lunch to your brothers, go down there. You know, what did that feel like? The indignancy that David stepped up to the king with to say, like, you're not going to deal with this uncircumcised Philistine. You know, we talk about like how David was so brave, but we don't talk about how that bravery may have came on the heels of so many years of being disrespected and being discounted, and how maybe he got to the point where he couldn't take it no more. And maybe he had been so bullied by his brothers that this fool wasn't going to do it no more, you know? And that's my own putting into the scriptures, which we should shy away from doing. But this is just also me trying to take the opportunity to show that the biblical characters are not without human flaw and are not without human experience and not without human emotion. And many times we don't pay attention to the human emotions that are very clear in the scriptures. And so I really love David's journey from his boyhood all the way through his kinghood, because you see these same emotions. You see him feeling isolated. You see him feeling like, what is it about me? You know, why is it me? You see these very clear emotions that are negative, even though we have things like David was a man after God's own heart. We have these big moments where David, you are one of the people that as a nation, as a people of God, we go after your relationship with Christ, right? You become the linchpin for what we want to become. But then you are also one of the biggest mess ups. Like, it don't even get more messed up than what you did. Like, how can these two things be true at the same time? Like, you didn't just do it. You did it. You plotted it. You tried to cover it up. You know what I'm saying? And then you lived with it for a long time. And so I think the nuance of two things being true at the same time, that you can be a man after God's own heart and still be a man full of emotion, full of depression, full of anxiety, full of fear, full of isolation. Those two things can be true at the same time. And right. I tell my clients this all the time, that secondary depression and secondary anxiety, we have to deal with that first. And what I mean by that is many times we are depressed and we are anxious, but we are depressed because we are depressed, right? We're more depressed that we're depressed than we are depressed.
Right.
Does that make sense, right? You know, we're just more upset with ourselves that we are back in this space, that we can't even get to the treatment because we're just so beating ourselves up because we're in this space. When the truth is, a depression is just the point between two hills. That's all it is. A depression is just the low point between two mountains. And if we look at life, you're going to be depressed. There's no way around it. As humans, you're going to run into depression. And if you know that, you can just go through it. Just keep going.
Right.
Acknowledge it and keep moving. And eventually you will get back up that mountain. But if you get depressed because you're depressed, you sit down. And then you stay in that depression for much longer than you were meant to stay there. And so if you can just see, and I think that's what scripture gives us. Scripture tells us, hey, David went through it. So go through it. You're fine.
Right.
We think, oh, something's wrong with me. That's why I'm going through it. And that's not what scripture's trying to tell you. He went through, Solomon went through it. You're fine.
Right.
Esther went through it. You're fine. Elijah went through it. You're fine. These are all people that were like, oh my God, these were the greats. God really used them. But they went through these, they went through these depressive episodes. They went through anxiety. They went through all of these negative things. Joseph, you know, all of every single biblical character, you can find in scripture a point of depression, anxiety, fear, hopelessness, isolation. You can find that.
Yeah.
So I think with David, what I love about the Psalms is that that's his own awareness of his own emotions.
Wow.
And that is what I love, is that we don't take the time to be aware of our emotions. And that self-awareness is key, is how can you be aware? And not only was he aware, but then he verbalized it. He put the pen to the paper. And then he addressed those emotions with the one person who had to solve for them, which was God. You know, and many times, because we don't have the type of relationship that David had with God, that's what people like me are for. Right. It's like, bring your emotions. And as a Christian counselor, I'm going to point you in the direction, because he is the solve. Right.
When
you can take your eyes off of yourself and put them on Christ, he will solve those emotions. He is the solve. But the pragmatic portion of what skill set do we need to change your perspective and to lift your eyes up off of whatever is causing this low for you, sometimes you can find in your counselors or in the mental health work that you're doing, and coping skills and things like that. But David really took the time to be aware of his emotions. And I think we have to do a better job of Christians of being honest and aware of those emotions. And so I probably said the same thing 17 different times, but I get excited.
But you're good. And one of the things I did want to, because you mentioned this, so I want to be able to put this out there, is you hit this point on not just that we go through depression, not just understanding that depression is your in-between. It's your in-between seasons. It's your in-between moments. It's that in-between portion between your high days. It's just another low point, but you have to continue to move on or continue to move forward so you can get to that high place, so you can get to that next place in your life or whatever. But I also love the aspect that you pointed out, that one of the ways that David dealt with his moments wasn't just that he moved forward. It wasn't just that he was going, you know, he just kept moving and kept doing stuff. Because I know, just from personal experience, just because you're active doesn't mean you're moving past it.
Right.
So it's not that David was just an active person. He was just keeping himself busy to try to be as a distraction from the depression he was dealing with. But more so, the main thing that I took away is this portion of he had conversations. He communicated where he was and what he was feeling. I'm going to read this context of scripture because you mentioned Psalms. Psalms chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. In the King James, it says, I am weary with my groanings. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eyes is consumed because of grief. It waxed old because of all of my enemies. David is so clear about where he's at, how he's feeling, and why he's feeling the way he's feeling. And he's communicating this so clearly that it's like, this is why I feel like David was a man after God's own heart. This is why you don't see a lot of other people, which we would call great in scripture, other than Jesus himself, where they're communicating their feelings like David. Mm-hmm. David to me is, he's one of the greatest warriors in scripture. He was one of the baddest boys out here. But like you stated, he was still able to express himself clearly to be able to identify, this is where I'm at. This is why I feel the way I feel. And I must clearly say, this is what I'm clearly going through right now. Now, again, I'm speaking to the only person that can fix this. And I've dealt with and I've developed a relationship with God to the point where I can speak clearly. We can go through different lines of scripture where David and said, look, hey, God, I just want to kill them people.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, look, but I know whatever you want to do, you can do. This is just how I'm feeling right now, which helps, I believe, would help David go through a lot of his challenges and a lot of his ups and downs. I'll say this part and then I'm going to let you get back to doing what you do best. As you know, you stir me as well as I stir you in these type of conversations. So if you look at, and I did this one time, I went back and I looked at the timeline of David. And in the book of Psalms, there's a statement that David, there's a conversation that David is having with God while he's watching his father's sheep. This is before he's anointed to be king. This is before he met Goliath. This is before any of those other portions of his life that we awe about in reference to David's story. This is before any of those things happen. And mm-hmm. David is sitting watching his father's sheep and he's writing a song to the Lord. And he basically says to the Lord, why am I here?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even want to do this. These folks is, they dogging me. They ain't treating me right. Like, I don't even know why I am still alive. And while David is having this conversation with the Lord at the same exact time, God is sending Samuel to come and anoint him to be king.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I always, when I looked at that storyline, when I looked at that timeline and seen that, I thought to myself, just like what you just said, this was David's low moment. If David would have stopped there, if David would have gave up at that point, if David would have allowed, like you said, his depression to keep him depressed, mm-hmm. if David would have allowed that moment, we wouldn't be raving about a king. So I want you to do me a favor, because only you can do this. I can't do this part at all. But I want you to do me a favor and help us to understand how do you keep going on when everything in you says to quit?
Mm-hmm. Humility. As simple as that sounds, humility in the right sense is not thinking less of yourself. Mm-hmm. Humility is thinking of yourself less. And mm-hmm. when you start to feel like I can't go on anymore, there I don't have enough. It has become too much about you.
Right.
And mm-hmm. any time that you feel like you can't do, your focus is the mission is not about you. Because the truth is, if your sons, now if you know Hiram, His sons are his world, right? There's just nothing that his, if you ever want to see him go crazy, if you ever want to see him cry, if you ever want to see him just step outside of himself, just put his sons in the picture. Mm-hmm. It does not matter what he feels he could physically do. If there was a need that his sons had, if there was something that his sons needed, there is nothing that would stop Hiram from walking into a burning building, from lifting a vehicle, from running through a wall to get to his son, because he no longer matters.
Right.
His body, his mind, his spirit, his wants, his desires, his emotions, they no longer matter because the mission is what he cares about. It's what he values.
Yes.
And so when you find yourself wanting to quit, wanting to give up, the mission has become you. You have become the mission. You have to change your perspective, because then that's going to highlight for you what is most important to you. And if it's your mission for your life, yes, you will want to quit. But if it's God's mission for your life, and since he is the one who puts breath in your body, and he is the one who decides whether or not you wake up or you lay down at night, and since he is the one who gives you your wife, your kids, your mission, your purpose, if he has not decided to pluck you from this earth, then you don't get to make the decision to quit and lay down on him. You don't have that. That's not, you don't get to make that choice. That's what we gave up when we said, yes, Lord, my life is yours. That's what we laid down at the altar, was that decision, right? Yeah. That's what we gave him. And many times we forget what surrender looks like. Because surrender, he gave us so much autonomy. He gave us so much free will, that we get in the practice of thinking that we have the ability and that we have the privilege of all of this yes and this no. But when we feel like, what is it? What is the thing that's driving me to go on? It's that whose life are you living? Is it yours or is it his? Whose purpose are you pursuing? Is it yours or is it his? And if you really think about how big God is, and you remember that not only is he big, but he's small. He cares enough to be small. He cares enough to care about the minute details of your life. He cares enough to know that you want, you know, I think about all the time. I'm sitting in my apartment. I love my house. And one day years ago, I was just talking to the Lord about the small things, the little things that I wanted. One day I wanted to have granite countertops, and I wanted to have light color cabinets, and I wanted to just daydreaming in my little mind and just daydreaming. And I wanted to have a high rise apartment, and I wanted to have floor to ceiling windows. And sometimes I sit in this apartment, and if anybody knows my story and my testimony, I had to move really quick. I got this job. It's the job that I don't qualify for. And I'm very young, and I'm the youngest, and I'm the most minority. And it's just crazy. And every once in a while, I look around my house and I just look at how God gave me every single detail. He gave me floor to ceiling windows, and he gave me the granite countertops and the light colored cabinets. And it was like he cared enough about me to do the small things. He didn't have to. He did the big thing, but he also did the small things. And sometimes we don't allow him into the crevices of our lives to do the big and the small things. And if we can remember that he sees it all, then we won't feel so forgotten. And that's what happens. We start to feel like, oh, God forgot about me. He forgot that I'm still here and that I'm still waiting. He forgot that this is a desire that I have. He forgot that, like, the people don't see me. He forgot that, like, I have this gift and this talent and nobody sees it. He didn't forget. You forgot.
Right.
And sometimes we just have to be reminded. We just have to be reminded how big he is. And once you just remember that the same God who saw David sitting over there writing him a poem about how sad he was the same God who had somehow orchestrated for this old man to make his way all the way on foot to Jesse's house. That same God who then knew that years later, this man would be written in the annals of time as a man after his own heart, while he was over there writing a poem about how he was lost over there with them sheep, that same God is the same God orchestrating our lives, is the same God who can see from the start all the way to the finish. When you forget about that, you will fall into depression. But when you remember, it will lift you out.
And this is why she's on this podcast. That passion that you hear is what I get fussed at every time I get into my state. So I'm going to read this real quick, because it keeps us, because you helped us in this aspect. I'm trying to be funny, but it's also serious in the aspect of this is truly what helps us. It is truly humility. And this connects, again, we talked about this before, for my listeners and those that are watching, but the aspect of greatness, one of the pieces of greatness is humility. It's you cannot walk in your greatness and not have humility. So I read this before and I was searching it because she hit it. And so I had to go back and search and find this scripture context. So in Philippians chapter 2:3-4, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Mm-hmm. This is truly humility. There are moments, and I can say this boldly, because if I was lying, this person that's on this podcast will correct me and check me very quickly. She has all rights because she's my sister. But there are moments there have been several moments where I have gotten stuck in my depression. There have been several moments where I have allowed myself to sit in it too long. But what, just like she said before, one of the things that pushes me out is I got two boys that's watching me. The thing that keeps me going is I got to make sure that they're going to be okay. The it's way beyond just me. But I also want to say this part, because I think this is vitally also important, is like you stated, if we get out of just looking at us, get out of looking at just where we are, just what we're seeing, just what we're feeling, just the aspect of, like you stated, we feeling like we are being left out, we're being forgotten, no one cares, no one wants to hear. Like, if we get out of that mode of thinking and realize that every place that you're in a sense, has been already orchestrated by the God that is in control, then that means you being where you are might be because you need to develop to get to where you need to be. It might also be the place that you're in is because you're waiting for Samuel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It might not be because of the people in the room. It might be because you're waiting for God to send. God is sending someone to you that is not in the space you're in. It has nothing to do with your brothers, David. It has nothing to do with your father, David. It has everything to do with God has already aligned your life and he is sending somebody. But if you quit before he gets there, then the work that you're called to do, the assignment that you're called to do, the people you're called to will be affected because you couldn't wait on what God was doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so with that, is to me, it's two major pieces. One, if you are like David in a space where you feel like, why am I still here? Why am I being left out? Why do I feel this way? Why do I feel forgotten? I got this skill. I got this gift. I got these wisdoms, but nobody's using it. Nobody's doing. Like, if you're in that space, what I would say to you is take advantage of your space.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are Samuel, then what I would say to you is please don't stop moving.
Facts. And, you know, I think about the beginning. I always go back to the beginning. God always takes me back to the beginning of what was it all for? What was it all for? When we were kids, there was a woman in our church, and you'll remember her. But Doretha Calhoun was my vocal teacher. And she made me sing this song as a child, and I hated it. hated it, but it has stuck with me all of my life because it was a scriptural song. Mm-hmm. But when I go back to the beginning, where God just wanted us to be with him, that's the purpose. Just be with me.
Yes.
Now, we as humans have put all of this extra onto what it is to live. Yeah. Capitalism has put on, okay, you have to have a career and you have to make this much money and you have to, purpose is, I have to become this and generational wealth and blah, 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 blah. That's all human experience.
Right.
The purpose of humanity was to walk and to talk with God. After the fall, it was to bring us back into relationship with God. Mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. We put all the extra on.
Right. Right.
So right. When we start to get depressed, many times those depressions are attached to, what am I doing? I'm not doing enough. What is my purpose? I'm not fulfilling my purpose. Go yes. back to the beginning. When you don't know what you're supposed to be doing, do what you were created to do, which is to be with God. And then when it comes down to your purpose, the Bible says, this is the song that Miss Calhoun always had me singing. He who began a good work, he will be faithful to complete it. Mm-hmm. He didn't say he's going to hold you accountable for completing it. He said he'll be faithful to complete it. You do your part, which is stay in communion with me, abide in me.
Yes.
So every time that I feel lost and I feel like I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and am I supposed to be doing this, and maybe I'm supposed to be doing that, and maybe I'm supposed to be doing this, and maybe I should have been saving money to do this, and am I supposed to launch a private practice, and am I supposed to be, let me do what I know to do, which is to abide in him mm-hmm. and give him the opportunity to complete the work that he started in me. Because this is on you, you know, and me and God got a special relationship because that's on you to do. You said you started the work in me. Right. If I give you complete control, if I jump in the car with you and you say you driving and we get in a car accident, that's on you. That's not on me.
Right.
But that's where my faith is that if I'm giving you the reins and you're driving my life, then you do what you do. I'm just here for the ride.
Yeah.
I'm listening to you, but it takes the pressure off of me. And so many times that's why he says my yoke is easy and my burden is light, because he knows we have a tendency to try to carry that mug ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, he has to constantly take it back from us. And that's what scripture is for. And that's why he says meditate on it day and night, because we have to be reminded, put that back. That's not yours. That's anybody who's a client of mine. They hear it all the time. Put that back. That's not yours. Right? That pressure that you're feeling, put it back. That pressure to complete the good work, put it back. That's not yours. That pressure to become something great, put it back. That's not yours, because he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. The only pressure you need to be fulfilling is abiding in the word of God, is staying close to God, is worshiping God, is making sure that you stay in his word. And really, that's the easy part. Because every time you fall off, the Holy Spirit that is indwelling in you is going to remind you off. That's why those emotions are good, because that's how you know. Soon as you start feeling real sad, soon as you start crying in the car on the way to work, soon as you start doing, then you know, I'm not in. The Holy Spirit gives you triggers to let you know you're far from me, right? Soon as you pop off on somebody at work, that Holy Spirit triggers let you know I'm far from, get back in.
Yeah.
And then all you got to do is get back in, and he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. The formula is very, very simple. We tend to complicate it. We tend to make it hard.
Yes. Yes, we do. And I am one of them. no, but I will say this, and this is more so just an echo of what you have already said. My mentor told me this statement years ago. He said, Hiram, if you ever feel the full weight of your life, that means you've distanced yourself where he's not carrying it. Mm. So you need to then get back to the place where you can give it back to the one that actually is supposed to carry it. And I think also it helps us to understand that there are two parties at play. You have a responsibility that you hold, and he has a responsibility that he holds. So the understanding is you have to figure out, what part of this do you control? Mm-hmm. The only thing you control is you. Mm-hmm. You don't control outcomes. You don't control time. You don't control situations. You control you. And so because the only thing you can control is you, you can control if you're going to get up or not. Mm-hmm. You can control if you're going to say something or not. You can control if you're going to go worship him or not, if you're mm-hmm. going to read your Bible or not. That's what you're in control of. What he's in control is everything else.
And thank God for that.
Man, goodness. Yes, yeah. Thanks God for that. But I think that's the part I think that helps us. And I think this is to tie it back to just what we realize or see through the life of David is we recognize that David understood, I don't control these things. Mm-hmm. I can't even control Saul. Even though I don't understand why this dude is trying to kill me when everything I'm doing is just trying to help and I'm trying to, you know, I love him and I want to just, I can't even control Saul. So God, you got to deal with Saul. Mm-hmm. Even when I have moments of where I could, where David could have killed Saul.
Yeah.
David's like, I can't do that against God.
Right.
Now, I ain't talking about what I can do against Saul. I know I can kill Saul. I know I can kill Saul and all his men.
Mm-hmm. And be justified. And that's the thing. Like, he could have got away with it.
Yes.
It wasn't that, like, I could kill Saul and then I'm going to jail. It was like, right. He could have got killed Saul and been celebrated for it. But would he have had peace? No, because, mm-hmm. again, he was abiding. And that's where we have to be with God, is that ultimately you make this final decision.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a love for God, the principles of abiding. It's like abiding and loving and knowing that relationship with God is so crucial that we keep getting to know him and falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Shout out to all my choppers. But the reason why I believe that God gave us marriage was to illustrate for us the depth and the pragmatics of how we're supposed to pursue him, mm-hmm. because of how we need to pursue our partners.
Right.
Because it's very easy to get complacent and stale and irritated and redundant mm-hmm. with our partners. It takes work to fall in love with your partner over and over and over and over again, right? Because you start to learn what to expect. It gets redundant. I know.
Right.
I know what to do, right? But then every once in a while, you do something, you say something, you have an experience that kicks you into a new season. It kicks you into a different depth mm-hmm. with that person. We have to do the same thing with God.
Yeah.
You know, you can spin 0 to 17 in church, but then you hit that 18 to 24 where you was in college and you ain't really know and the parents went, that's a different depth. That's a different level. And then you keep leveling up your relationship with God and you fall in love deeper. This last season of my life with God, I just finished today, a 40-day intensive prayer. My church is doing a prayer devotion with God. Listen, call me the children of Israel, because the 40 days took me at least 65. I didn't finish it in 40 days for sure. They must have been done a month ago, but it took me a little bit longer, but I finished it today. And I'm just so grateful for the new depths of God's grace that I discovered in being kind to myself for having to circle around longer than it took other people. Because of how I learned about God and what I learned about him. And we learned that with David, is that in every devastating circumstance, even down to Absalom, and we see how devastated that made David, that whole account with David and Absalom and the turmoil that it took him through. We see it elevate him to a level with God. And it's like, David being a man after God's own heart did not disqualify him from any heartache and any pain and any turmoil and any devastation.
Right.
So let's just take that off the table. is that our pursuit of Christ does not disqualify us from heartache and pain. But many times when we experience heartache and pain, that's the first thing we sacrifice, is we're upset with Christ. We don't want to follow him. Now we're not praying. Now we upset with God. You don't see me. You forgot about me. Right. That's human. But that's what we have to buck against, is not allowing that to let us fall at his feet, because that's when we need him the most. Yeah. Is when we're having these human experiences that he can be there for us for. So if I tie it back to, what do we learn from the mental health space about David? Be aware of what you're feeling. It is very important to verbalize those feelings. Men in particular, they many times, y'all struggle to verbalize them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to go back to the beginning and go find the appropriate vocabulary. Emotional vocabulary, sometimes you got to go find those words because you haven't learned them. There are more emotions than happy, mad, sad, angry, right? Sometimes you might need to take your time and explore more words. The reason why children have temper tantrums is because they don't have enough words in their vocabulary to express what they're feeling. When you have a child that you drop off at children's church and then you walk away, that child has not developed enough to know that you're coming back. So in that moment when they're feeling abandoned, they don't know how to say, "I'm feeling abandoned." So they flail out on the floor because the only love that they know has just walked away from them. And they don't know how to express what that feels like in that moment. And we dismiss them and we pick them up. And of course, we know we're coming back, but they don't know they're coming back. But right. That child doesn't know how to explain what this feels like in that moment. This feels like I'm being abandoned, but they haven't learned that word yet. And so they throw a temper tantrum. When we elevate that to an adult standpoint, when my husband didn't come home last night and he didn't call me and let me know that he wasn't coming home, and I all of a sudden felt like I was being neglected, and this felt like when my dad didn't come home and I don't know how to express that. When you walked in the house and I threw the cup at you, I just didn't have the words to express how I was feeling. So I threw a temper tantrum because I didn't have the emotional vocabulary that I needed to express what I was feeling. We have temper tantrums as an adult. But we can stop having those when we expand our emotional vocabulary. It's a beautiful thing, the Google. The Google will help us with emotional vocabulary. That's something that you can do as a couple. I'm throwing out nuggets here. That's something you can do as a couple, is work on your emotional vocabulary to be able to express when complex feelings are unable to be expressed, so that you don't have those things, so that you can pin your emotions so that you can give them to God, so that then he can give you the tools that you need to move forward. So David was aware of his emotions. He expressed his emotions. He treated his emotions. That's the next part. You talked about how, yes, if we're going through the depression, it's not just that you keep moving. You have to move with intention. You live in Colorado, right? You have to account for the altitude. That'll preach. You have to account for the altitude. You have to do things differently. Right. You have to, if you are way above sea level, you can't move as fast as you can move down on the regular. You gotta breathe deeper. You gotta drink more water. You have to account for the altitude. So if you find yourself at a low point, you have to account for the altitude. You may not be able to do everything you can do when you're at a high. You may not need to be partying at this point. If you're a drinker, if you have negative behavior patterns, you may not need to be around any and everybody. This may not be the time that you can hold space for everybody who comes and dumps on you. You may need to have more boundaries up while you're going through this space and time. You may not need to watch everything on television. There are times, This Is Us can't be on. I'm already sad. I can't watch y'all be sad. I can't. I'm already gonna cry. I can't. This is not the season for that.
Right.
My big brother will say, he'll say, "Swine, you need to watch this show." And I'll be like, "I'm not in the season. I can't do it. I can't watch that show right now because of where I am emotionally. I have to account for where I am. I have to account for the altitude." So be aware of your emotions, verbalize your emotions, account for the altitude, and always check your perspective. If it's about you, you need to check your perspective. Humility is key. That's my tips. The last plug that I have as a sister, I have to say it. If we're talking about David,
yes,
we're talking about David as a sister. If David is such a prolific character in the Bible, and my favorite book of all time is written by my mentor, one of my favorite people on the planet, Tyrone Holcomb's 23, The Psalm That Calms the Soul. You can get it at tyroneholcomb.net. It is a wonderful book. It takes you through the life of David. It is where I learned the most about David as a human, but it is an excellent book that I believe everybody should have. But since we were talking about David and his mental health struggles, I think that that's a great plug for that particular book. But 23, The Psalm That Calms the Soul. But I do want to thank you, brother, for having me on the show and focusing on greatness. And I know that as you are walking into your greatness, God is going to continue to bless you. And I'm just happy that I get to be along for the ride with front row seats.
As always, thankful for you, thankful for your wisdom and your insight. And for those that are listening, the book that she's talking about, we will have that in the show notes, so you'll be able to just click and go and purchase that for yourself, and make sure that you dive into it. It is a great read. It is a great, give you some great insight, and it does give you a different perspective into the life of David. It allows you to be able to see him in your everyday, versus just a biblical character that we read through history. And so make sure you grab that. Make sure you not just grab it, but make sure you're supporting. If you know somebody else that needs it as well, go ahead and be a help for somebody else. This might be your tool of being Samuel for someone else's life and someone else's journey. And so make sure you take advantage of it. We are going to go ahead and wrap this conversation up. I promise you, me and my sister can go. We can go for a very long time on this specific topic. But again, I'm thankful that you came on, thankful that you took some time out to have this dialogue. She already knows this, so when I say this, it's not a surprise. I will have her back, and we will dive more deeply into this topic of conversation. Because I do truly believe that we need to be able to see that there are more people in Scripture that has struggled with this than we actually think. And there are lessons that we can be able to learn in the journey of everything that we see. So again, thank you so much for your wisdom, your insight, and your time. I love you so very much, as always. So for everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you all for being a part of this conversation. Take your time to do exactly what you've heard on today. Don't just listen to it and discard the wisdom, discard the information, but make sure that you apply these principles to your life. And I already got another topic just listening to my sister of conversation that we need to be able to have. So we're going to go get some language, people, so we can make sure we have great conversations and be able to do and express what we need to. I love you all, and see you next time right here on the Focus on Greatness podcast. Bye-bye.
Bye.